Good evening.
Good evening.
I don't know. Is it working? There it is. Yeah. So I'm Megan Manlove. I'm the bishop of the Northwest Intermountain Synod, and this is my second time being with you for worship. I've stopped by a few times, and I've Zoomed with some of your leadership. I'm really, really grateful. The one thing I missed most my first year being bishop was being with the congregation for Holy Week. So thank you for showing up, and I heard there'd be like 10 people, so we've already exceeded my expectations for this Monday-Thursday service. So I put a little bit about the Monday-Thursday service on the front of your bulletin. You can read that whenever you want to if you get bored during the sermon. And we will, even though many of us, will be staying for a very festive baptismal service later. Traditionally, Monday Thursday service ends in silence. You strip the altar, there's no postlude, and you just leave in preparation for Good Friday, and so we won't have a postlude. There is a hymn, it's 708, and it's in your bulletin, but I'll announce the number in case that's a little small for you to read and you want to look it up in your ELW hymnal, 708. And communion, how we normally do. We're not washing feet, so you don't have to be worried about that. And if the kids want to come up, we're going to start at the font with the confession and forgiveness. And so some of you might be at the font later today, I don't know. But why don't you come up and we'll just look at the water. This will be sort of like the Monday, Thursday children's message, so come on up. Are you going to be brave and lead the way? All right. Yeah, come on up. So do you know what this is? We don't, it's kind of usually over in that corner, right? Yeah. This is called the baptismal, what is it, adults?
Font.
The baptismal font. So this is where we baptize infants, children, and adults, like we're going to this evening. And that is the candle that gets sort of relit every year around Easter. And we do the confession and forgiveness here at the font because, what's confession and forgiveness? Do you know those words? To confess your sins, tell Jesus some things that you've done wrong in the last week. Have you done anything wrong? I have done some things wrong. You are perfect.
Okay.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So, but we do, as we remember that in with the baptismal waters, we're connected to Jesus, and we are made clean, we're made whole. This is why sins, why all of the mistakes that we made this last week can be forgiven, is because of our being united with Jesus in the waters of baptism. So, congregation, you can stand, and you just stand with me, and we'll do the confession and forgiveness. Friends in Christ, in this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to struggle against sin, death, and the devil. All that keeps us from loving God and each other. This is the struggle to which we were called at baptism. We have shared this discipline of Lent with new brothers and sisters in Christ tonight. Within the community of the church, God never wearies of forgiving sin and giving the peace of reconciliation. On this night, let us confess our sin against God and our neighbor and enter the celebration of the great 3 days, reconciled with God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You want to, you can dip your hands in the fonts tonight, get a little water, and you can mark yourself with the sign of the cross too, if you know how to do that. And if not, we'll teach you later. Get some water. Remember your baptism. Or be ready for your baptism. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, source of all love, on the night of his betrayal, Jesus gave us a new commandment, to love one another as he loves us. Write this commandment in our hearts and give us the will to serve others as he was the servant of all, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
The first reading is from Exodus 12, verses 1 through 4, 5, 10, 11, and 14. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, This month shall mark you. This month shall mark for you the beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join with its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year-old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it in twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over leavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until morning. Anything that remains until morning, you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn of the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. The Lord, the blood shall be a sign for you on your house where you live. Where I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. On this day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall observe it in perpetual ordinance. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm for today comes from Psalm 116. We will read it responsively. I love the Lord, who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication.
For the Lord has given ear to me whenever I called.
How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things God has done for me?
I will lift the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people.
Precious in your sight, O Lord, is the death of your servants.
O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds.
I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people.
In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem.
The second reading comes from the first book of Corinthians. A reading from the first book of Corinthians. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in the remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that in all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will. You will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on a robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. The name of our worship service, Maundy, comes from that commandment, or mandate Jesus gives his disciples at the very end of the scripture, to love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. The world needs that love so much, always, but maybe especially right now. Jesus has just demonstrated the love through the act of foot washing. Foot washing was the focus of Maundy Thursday worship services at Trinity Lutheran in Nampa. I served before becoming bishop. But in my first call in Soldier, Iowa, a town of about 200 near the Nebraska border. Holy Communion was central because that was the night fifth graders celebrated their first communion. My theology around the Lord's Supper became robust on the prairie of western Iowa. It was Thursday evening. The next day, Jesus would die. He knew it, and he told his disciples. They were at supper together, a farewell meal. As they were seated around the table, he took bread and wine and told them that this was his body and his blood, and that they should eat and drink. He told them that after he was gone, they should continue to observe this supper, forgiveness of sins, and in remembrance of him. One time at Trinity, much late in the call during the pandemic, I led a group of 7th and 8th grade confirmation students online through a discussion of the Last Supper, as recorded in Mark's Gospel. The conversation lagged a bit until I called on one student who usually contributed. "What strikes you in this story?" I asked. The student replied, "The story begins with Jesus saying someone will betray him, and it ends with him saying Peter will deny him. And right in the middle of these two things, Jesus breaks the bread and shares the cup." I was speechless with admiration for this young theologian. In the middle of the betrayal and denial, Jesus shares this love feast with its gifts of forgiveness and mercy. Ever since that night, the followers of Jesus the world over have observed or celebrated the Lord's Supper as their most solemn act of worship. The Holy Spirit has used this very simple meal to give the church some of the most profound and rich truths and gifts of God. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we come to remember him. We recall who Jesus is and what he has done, what he continues to do, and what he yet will do. He is not visibly with us as he was with the disciples that evening. As we remember him, we dwell on his life from his birth to his ascension. We remember especially the cross, where his body was broken and his blood was shed for you. When the bread is placed in your hands, when you receive the wine, you will hear those same amazing words, "for you." Whether we see him or not, our risen and ascended Lord is here, a living presence. He is with us singularly in bread and wine, his body and blood. We not only have a memorial, we have a presence. That's what we Lutherans believe. And in the bread and wine, he gives himself. This is the good news of the gospel in visible form. And so it's called a communion. Receiving life in him, we are in fellowship with Jesus, and through him, in fellowship with each other. We are reconciled to God and to one another. We are the restored family of God, the body of Christ. Whenever and however we receive him, we come in repentance and faith. We come to receive the forgiveness of sins. We come in penitence and sorrow for the sins that grieve us. And we come in glad and sure confidence that he forgives us as he has promised to do. It is a sacrament of thanksgiving, also called the Eucharist, the Greek word for thanksgiving. When a Christian stands before the throne of God, when all sins are forgiven, all joy restored, left to do but to give thanks. Thanksgiving is our only full and real response to God's creation, God's redemption, God's gift of heaven. All the motifs of faith, like melodies in a great symphony, are brought together in the sacrament: repentance, faith, forgiveness, joy, love, hope, thanksgiving. Pastor Al Rognes once wrote, "The Lord's Supper is God's gift to us to strengthen our faith. The Christian who realizes this will want to receive this gift often, probably as often as it is offered. No matter how often, communicants should prepare their hearts by careful self-examination and prayer. The scripture warns against coming as a matter of form, without repentance and without faith in the Lord's promise of forgiveness." I think Rognes lays out the balance that must be struck: receiving the gift of communion as often as it is offered, and receiving it with prepared hearts. Indeed, the Lord's Supper is a gift we continue to learn about throughout our lives. We are never finished being reminded of the gifts of the Lord's Supper. In the midst of all the turmoil in the world right now, I come to this meal tonight with a renewed appreciation for the gifts of forgiveness and abundant life. I come exceedingly grateful to share it with each of you. I come with awe and wonder. surely and fully believe Jesus' promises. I trust that the gifts are guaranteed, and I believe God's presence is real. I can never really explain how it all happens. In the end, I'm comfortable not needing to explain or fully understand. There is just enough mystery in the Lord's Supper to leave me bewildered. It is a mystery I love sharing with others and with you tonight. Amen. So we'll sing our hymn of the day, 708 in your hymnal if you want to look there. Yesu, Yesu, fill us with your love. Hymn 708. God, we come to you in prayer for the church, your good creation, and all who are in need. Heal the wounds of your church, O God, as we remember your commandment to love one another. Guide us toward reconciliation with the body of Christ. Bless all who gather around the world and in this community for these holy 3 days. God of grace, hear our prayer. Renew the life of your creation. Restore lands suffering from chronic drought or flood, and protect fragile habitats from destruction. Encourage all to build more sustainable systems for life and thriving. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Bring peace and justice among your people. Where there is oppression or fear, bring liberation and hope. Instill wisdom and humility in local and national leaders, and guide them to serve their communities in the way of Jesus. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Console all who suffer. We pray especially for all who are lonely and yearning for community. Assure them of your loving presence. Come alongside all who cry out to you in any need, especially those we name silently or aloud. God of grace, in the bread and cup we share, you show us the way of love poured out for the whole world. Nourish all who hunger in body and in spirit, that they experience the life abundant that flows from you. God of grace, we remember the saints who rest in you. We give thanks for all our beloved dead. Confident of your steadfast love, we commend them to your eternal care. God of grace, Receive the prayers of your people and draw all things together in your love. In the name of Jesus, who leads us from death to life. The peace of Christ be with you all. Please share a sign of peace. Peace. How do we do? Or do you pass plates still for offering or not? Can you do that? Okay. Oh. You can be seated for the offering. Is that right? Is that okay? Okay. Provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with the words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'll just speak it. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, whose suffering and death gave salvation to all. You gather your people around the tree of the cross, transforming death into life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, and with the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Please be seated. Given for you. Body of Christ 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 given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in a wonderful sacrament, you strengthen us with the saving power of your suffering, death, and resurrection. May this sacrament of your body and blood so work in us that the fruits of your redemption will show forth in the way we live. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.